welcome to Sunday Night Live here at Infowars.com and band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I, of course, host the morning show, American Journal, each and every weekday morning from 8 to 11 a.m. here on Infowars.com and band.video. Very happy to be with you here this Sunday evening to go over just some of the just insanity that has occurred over this weekend. Usually on my weekends, let's just say I'm not Alex Jones or Owen Schroyer. They somehow have the stamina and the constitution to just do this day in and day out. I need my weekends. I'm a weak man. And after talking about just the most horrific nonsense you've ever heard for 5 days in a row, I like to just try as best I can to disconnect over the weekend, have some fun with my family, get some yard work done, not have to worry too much about everything. So I was worried this afternoon coming in to do the show. I thought I need to catch up on the news and need to figure out what's been happening over the last few days. I was worried that maybe I wouldn't have enough stories to fill 2 hours here on InfoWars, but lo and behold, there is more than enough to talk about over the last couple days. More than enough videos to show you, more than enough articles to talk about. Evil doesn't take the weekends off, I guess, is what we're learning. So we've got plenty to talk about here today. I was just looking up. I mean, in just a couple hours of news gathering, I have something like 90 videos or something. I didn't put all the videos in the list. Don't worry, crew. You're not going to have to go through 90 different videos that I downloaded. But it really is incredible how much stuff happens on a daily basis these days. And especially when you just try to take it all in, you try to figure out where we are and where we're going right now. There's food riots in South America. Already Africa is experiencing famine conditions in certain places as food supplies dry up there. This, of course, has been what we've been talking about for months on American Journal and elsewhere on InfoWars, telling you that it's not about the destruction of the first world, all of these coincidental food processing plants being burned down or hacked and birds being culled by the millions and supply chains being frozen across the world, leading to inevitable shortages of the most basic necessities. The first world will scrape by. We might not have as many brands on offer as before. There might not be as much choice as we had before, but we're not going to be going hungry anytime soon. The third world, however, is absolutely going to go hungry, and it's going to cause chaos in those nations, which of course will justify more action from us here in the first world, more involvement in countries that are going to be the, you know, receiving end of this plot that's been carried out. And of course, that will inspire or again justify massive immigration into the first world countries. It's a somewhat complicated, but at its base, very simple worldwide attack going on right now. And so we'll try to lay some of that out. I'm going to go to a lot of videos about the old correspondence dinner. Time magazine correspondent labels freedom of speech a white male obsession. And we'll show you lots of videos of Trevor Noah, elitist foreigner, mocking the American people as all of the Democrats and their media cronies laugh along at the destruction and pain that they're causing the average American. It's so funny how much more you're having to pay for inflation. It's so hilarious how open the border is. Isn't it just laugh out loud funny the way that the mainstream media has just entirely stopped having any oversight over the government whatsoever, and that previously under Trump they were fact-checking his every utterance, and now they just don't even bother to do it anymore. They just repeat and proliferate the lies of the Biden administration with complete abandon. Isn't that hilarious? Aren't we all having a good time? So we'll talk about that in just a little bit as well. Of course, COVID's not going away, and the attacks on free speech are coming faster and at a greater clip than ever before. There's even a pretty sizable hit piece on yours truly, Greg Reese and Patrick Howley. But of course, we are just vectors of attack for an assault on InfoWars. This one's by the Daily Beast, which my religious friend said they might as well call it the Daily Baphomet, right? When you hear the Daily Beast, just picture a multi-headed winged serpent lying to you, and it's a pretty fair representation of this particular media outlet. But of course, it frames the things that I've said and that Greg Reese has said in the most unfriendly ways possible. And of course, our audience is aware of this, perfectly aware of this. It's not our audience they're targeting. It's all of the people that might think they might want to see what this whole InfoWars thing is all about. Yeah, I hear a lot about Alex Jones, but I've never even heard anything from the guy. Maybe I'll go check this out. Well, they're going to put a stop to that before those thoughts even enter into your head. What are you, a racist? Don't listen to the guy. Don't listen to him. He's a racist. Trust us. We're telling you that he's a racist, and you know, we do nothing but tell the truth. But of course, the whole thing is an attack on banned.video. The whole article was, again, an attack saying, now that we've kicked Alex Jones off of all of social media, he's created his own platform, and that's unacceptable, right? Don't like YouTube censorship? I guess you got to go build your own YouTube. All right, we did. It's called banned.video, and you can go there and see just tons of material for free. You can stream it. Works great. You can share the links. And they're just like, no, you can't do that. When we said build your own YouTube, we meant just die. When we said build your own YouTube, we meant you should roll over and die because we hate you. We didn't mean actually go build a new YouTube. So we went and actually built a new YouTube, and now they're very mad about that. That's unacceptable. Why do you think they're instituting the Disinformation Governance Board? It's because their tactics are not strong enough anymore. They already have total control of the media outlets. They already have total control of the corporate networks that dictate who is and is not allowed on big tech. And even when they have all of these weapons arrayed against us, firing on full blast at point blank range, they can't get us. They can't hurt us. They can't stop us from telling the truth to the American people. So now they're trying to go even further and enact this Disinformation Governance Board. And of course, the rumor is going around that it's actually one Barack Hussein Obama that is behind the whole push. And whether he's behind it or not, it's pretty clear from the inside. I mean, from some of the rumors that are being reported from the likes of Jack Posobiec, that somebody other than the people in charge is making this happen. It's very strange. The reporting from Jack Posobiec said neither Kamala Harris nor Alejandro Mayorkas was in favor of the Disinformation Governance Board, and yet it's going through anyway. It's kind of strange. It's kind of strange being in a country that's supposed to be a constitutional republic. We're supposed to have representation. We're supposed to have oversight and be able to judge people who rule over us on the decisions that they make. It's a little hard to do that when the people making the decisions are shrouded behind a veil of secrecy. And the decisions that they're making are openly despised by the vast majority of the American people, and yet they mock us for this. And again, we'll show you the videos in just a little bit. But more information is coming out about this new Nina Jankowicz woman, who is the new czarina, the czarina of free speech, the minister of truth, who is a terrible karaoke singer who only sings songs about Harry Potter. And she's going to be in charge of disinformation. I'll be polite. Stupid world that we live in right now. It's incredibly frustrating, but there we are. And of course, as they're pushing all of this censorship and growing the domestic spy agencies in order to report on and investigate the American people, actual political terrorism is taking place. And of course, it's coming directly from the left. This weekend, there was just a normal, everyday political rally. You had a conservative candidate in, I believe it was Portland, Oregon, trying to go and spread his message, doing a little on-the-ground campaigning, boots on the ground, kissing babies, shaking hands, handing out flyers, talking to the people. And of course, this is a hate crime in our modern world, and Antifa swiftly descended on that gathering to commit violence and vandalism. And this is the world that we live in now. You think we're very far from it being an official position that you're not allowed to support Republicans or conservatives? We're really not that far from it. Another image that went viral over this weekend, and if the crew wants to look for it, I think Wittgenstein tweeted it out on Twitter, but it is a picture that's simply titled Children's Section, and it is the children's section of a bookstore. And I actually had this exact experience this weekend, going out to lunch, and there what looked to be a cute little bookstore right next to the place that we ate lunch. So we thought, we'll go over there and peruse around a little bit. And it's this weird experience because it didn't advertise itself as some sort of religious bookstore, right? They're Christian bookstores, right? You know, Christian Science Reading Room or whatever. You know, it's a Christian bookstore, and you walk in and all the books are by Christians, and it's a lot about, you know, Christianity from different perspectives. And you think, okay, this is a Christian bookstore. If you walked into just a normal bookstore that was just like, oh, it's just, you know, Judy's books, and you walk in and every book was about Christianity and every book was by Christians, you'd go, oh, okay, I thought this was just a regular bookstore. It's not. It's a Christian bookstore. I see. It's a religious bookstore. There's nothing bad about that, but they're different things. Just bookstores, open to anybody. Religious bookstores, they have a certain message they're trying to put out. They only choose books that align with their beliefs, and it's perfectly understandable. So it was just a weird experience going into what we thought was a non-denominational, normal bookstore and finding out it was actually a satanic enclave of some sort, because every single book in that place was a tome of progressive dogma. Here's the one that was posted by Wittgenstein, children's section. And this is what you see. If you go to Barnes & Noble, our audience should do this. Go to Barnes & Noble and just take a picture of the children's section. Just see what's in there. Here you see the children's section. It's I Dissent, the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a story of Anthony Fauci, one about Kamala Harris, A Seat at the Table, a story about Nancy Pelosi, Pride, of course, for the little gay kids, some more little gay books down there, some black history books, Life as a Girl, Martin Luther King Jr. It's just, She Persisted there at the top. These are religious books. And this is the thing that people really don't understand, I think. I mean, people are kind of starting to get it at this point, but what they're pushing with these books, what this mindset is that they are all, coagulated around, is a religion. It is a set of moral beliefs, right? They don't say it's a set of moral beliefs. They don't say it's a religion. They don't say this is a moral framework by which we say, you know, you should live your lives. They don't define what that moral framework actually is. And what they especially don't do is argue for the superiority of that moral framework over any other moral framework. They just take it on faith, much like a religion, right? They aren't going to argue with you and say, actually, we believe that this is the best way to raise children, or this is the best way to behave because of this, because, you know, we have inside of this, whether it's a scientific or revelatory nature, whatever the reasoning would be, they don't even make that argument. Instead, they say this is the new moral framework of the country, and if you question it, you will be silenced. And if you go against it, you will be destroyed. You have committed blasphemy against our new state religion, which isn't sticking to the typical, you know, limitations of religion. It's being pushed by the schools. It's being enforced by the state. This is a state religion that now has these state-run enforcement mechanisms and is a set of moral beliefs that's adhered to by just absolutely everybody in the media and also, of course, in the literary world. But think about this. I can explain to you why my moral framework I believe to be superior than any other, right? I can tell you that the people in the past were not Christian because they were superstitious, ignorant idiots, right? Our grandmothers did not get married and become housewives and, you know, devote their lives to their families because they were somehow superstitious and hoodwinked or, you know, some sort of religious extremist that feared they would go to hell if they didn't do exactly this. I mean, hell, everybody I know, all of my friends, all of our grandparents, all of our grandmothers have college degrees, all of them. My wife's grandmother has a college degree. My grandmothers had college degrees. They all had the opportunity if they wanted to. They could have struck out on their own and tried to make it in the business world. And if you asked any one of them today, you know, why did you choose to become a homemaker? They'd say, because it's the best life. It's the best way to raise a family. It's the best way to ensure that your children grow up to be successful and happy and well-adjusted and united people. Like, these are the reasonings behind the moral framework, right? Is that we have figured out through thousands of years of testing and changing inputs that the best way to create responsible, happy, unified, joyous, successful, prosperous people is to raise them in a two-family home with the mother around as much as humanly possible, right? The parents shouldn't be divorced. They should probably not be the same gender. Like, all of these things aren't just there because, you know, we're afraid God's going to punish us if we do things any differently. It's because it is the best moral framework. It is the most successful. It is the most prosperous. It's just the best. And science has proven that out 1,000 times. It does it every single day. Anything you look at, what's the one common denominator between all these criminals? Oh, they all were raised in broken homes. Wow, I'm shocked, right? Oh, none of them had good parental figures. None of them, you know, were raised in the church or anything like that. Yeah, I'm starting to see a theme here. But the new moral framework, they don't have the data to tell you this, and they're not going to, that this is the best way to raise children. This is the best way to have a happy, successful, prosperous population. Because it's not. Because it's absolutely the opposite. See, their moral framework is the best moral framework to have a population that is bastardized, that is hopeless, that is dependent, that is just degenerate and you know, have mental illness and have to be on drugs and have to, you know, be supported by the state and have to, you know, and they're just constantly miserable. They're constantly furious at everybody for some reason, right? So that is the outcome of their moral framework. And if you try to point that out, they don't make the argument that actually the other way is true. They don't say, well, actually, you see here, when we, you know, implemented our policies, everything got better. Now, everything they implement makes everything worse. Every policy they put into place makes everybody more miserable, even the people that they are claiming to help. Yeah, this is a perfect representation, right? The liberated feminist versus the trad wife. The liberated feminist wearing a ton of makeup because of her low self-esteem. She got a flower tattoo when she was 17 because she was desperate for some sort of, I don't know, individuality. Uses fake tanner. So dark she looks Mexican, wearing clothing that barely fits, sleeps around to improve her self-esteem, but it only makes her feel worse, chubby from her diet of fast food and microwaved meals, aborted her baby last year, claims she's bisexual but only dated men, works minimum wage job because her gender studies degree didn't get her anywhere. Meanwhile, the trad wife loves her natural face and only wears light makeup, natural hair with highlights from the sun, natural tan from her outdoor lifestyle. Her husband works to support her staying at home and raising the kids, wears modest and feminine clothing. And the thing is, on an individual level, it's the best way for one to be happy and successful, is to go with the traditions that have created the most, you know, beautiful societies the world has ever seen. On an individual level, it's evident that these people with their misery, man, with just their self-hatred and hatred of everyone around them, and they always feel aggrieved, and they always have some sort of trauma that they're just having to unpack, and, you know, it's not their fault that they have to be on 50 million pills a day. You know, it's the Christians, probably. It's probably our fault, if I had to guess. But, of course, to go along with the traditions, to be surrounded by a family and a community and a church, and to know that what you're doing is contributing to the greater happiness as a whole. It's good on an individual level, but on a societal level, it's necessary. On a societal level, you cannot have a society that's run by these psychopaths. It doesn't work. And you can see everywhere their policies get implemented, everywhere their mindset is codified into law, you have the resultant misery and failure and horror and division and crime and sadness, pathetic inability to, you know, maintain their own subsistence. And again, it's the societies, it's the civilizations that were built on Christianity that created the most free, prosperous, happy societies in the world. And in that society, if you don't want to go along with it, you don't have to. If you want to go out and, you know, destroy your own life, you're more than allowed to. That's the beauty of our system, is that, you know, if you behave within its confines, you'll be rewarded to the maximum degree, not by any outside force, but by, you know, an internal success, by an internal satisfaction that you achieve. But if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to contribute, we're not going to force you to get married. We're not going to force you to have kids. We're not going to force you to not get tattoos or force you to, you know, work hard and get a job or whatever. Like, if you want to not do that, you are more than welcome. The society that they're creating, you cannot have a family. You cannot have, you know, sole decision over what your child is taught. You can't just have a wife who stays at home. You can't do these things. They're actively, because these things are a threat to their system. They see them as a threat, and they're desperate for the threat. And it was funny because there was a little flea market thing going on outside this bookstore. And so my wife were walking around. We love little trinkets, little crafts, little household goods you can get. And it was just this, you know, pathetic array of really kind of subpar art and this sort of stuff. But, you know, it's not, you don't have to be super talented to go to these things. But it would be nice to see just a modicum of originality, just a little taste of creativity. But that's nowhere to be found. Instead, you have like these cross stitch things. And it was so funny. One of them was that saying, I'm sure you've heard it if you, you know, watch InfoWars a lot, but it's be gay, do crime. That's one of their sayings, right? I'm sure you all have heard this. Be gay, do crime. It's like a rallying cry for these people. And after we left, you know, my wife and I were just kind of talking about, we're just like, what a pathetic display was on just there. And my wife's like, I didn't get, what is that be gay, do crime thing? She's like, what does that mean? And it's like, no. You don't look any farther into this. It doesn't mean anything. It means what it says. It means be gay, do crime. It just means be degenerate, right? It just means be a stupid conformist to the modern religion. And my wife is like, those people don't do crime. It's like, no, you're right, they don't do crime, they're all gay. Yeah, they all are very apparently gay, but no, none of those people do crime, you know. It's like, she's just like, so why would they even have, like, why would you have that saying in the first place? But also, why would you have that saying if you aren't actually living this idea? And it's just like, because they want to seem edgy. They are desperate to think that they are standing up against some, you know, restrictive overarching power structure that just is the old mayor from Dirty Dancing that just doesn't want the kids to dance. Like, that's who they think they're. They have created an entire society behind this identity that is monster slayers that are fighting Bigfoot, right? They're fighting something that doesn't exist. They're fighting a fabrication and a phantom that exist only in their own minds. But they are sure that this exists out there somewhere. They're sure that Handmaid's Tale is just all anybody who's Republican, myself included, we all just are desperate to see you know, women as nothing but breeding factories and children should be taught the, you know, whatever. You know, it's just like, none of it's true. None of it's real. It exists in a phantom. And they think that by standing up against this, they're fighting back against some big power structure that doesn't exist. And this idea, be gay, do crime. These people don't even commit thought crimes. These people don't even think things they're not supposed to think. They don't say things they're not supposed to say. They don't, interact with people they're not supposed to interact to. They're the most castrated, neutered, obedient subjects the world has ever seen. And part of the trick is that they tell them, you're a rebel by doing this. You're fighting back against the power structure. Some billionaire is whispering in their ear, right? Some billionaire worm tongue, multimedia owner, just like powerhouse corporate masters, just like, yes, do crime. We hate that. We hate when you do crime. That's the worst. We don't like that at all. Then they call up their friend. They're just like, yeah, get us more federal police. Yeah. So long story short, whether you know it or not, whether you recognize it or not, whether you call it what it is or not, we can really identify the root of so many of problems that we face today with this new religion. This new religion that is now the state religion here in America. It is a moral framework that is completely at odds and separate from the moral framework that built this country. It is being instituted with the power of the state, as well as the sophisticated psychological operations being carried out by corporations and spymasters and their puppets in the media, to bring about a population that is incapable of fending for itself. It's incapable of hearing opinions it doesn't like to hear. It's incapable of, you know, being prosperous and making something that somebody else finds valuable. They exist only to serve the power structure. They exist only to be a dependent cog in a giant machine that is just eviscerating the human race. And they're open about this. They talk about how they're doing this, but somehow it doesn't trickle down to the people at the bottom. And just like religions in the past, this is a moral framework that's being instituted. But unlike the religions in the past, it does not try to justify its existence. It does not try to tell you why this moral framework is superior, but it will silence you for daring to suggest otherwise, for daring to even ask, why would this be superior to the other way? They don't tell you why. They call you a bigot. They call you a racist. They call you a homophobe. And then they sick the dogs on you. Somehow people don't get this. They don't get that it's real. So this was my rude awakening going into what I thought was a cute little bookstore. Maybe find a kid's book for my son. We need a new book. He's tired with the ones that he has. And go in there and it's just the anti-racist baby, you know? Jin has two mommies. You want to read that book? That'll be great. That'll be wonderful. Again, it's not. They don't say this is a religious bookstore. They don't say this is a bookstore of our new materialist religion. They think they're normal. They think this is totally fine and not weird at all. And it just sort of shows the boiling of the frog approach really works. I think if you were to take somebody from the 90s and show them a children's section of the bookstore filled with fawning cultish celebrations of modern political like politicians, like office holders, they would recognize immediately how cultish and weird it is. But that's why for the last 40 years or so, this mindset, this religion has been slowly but surely injected into our society to the point now that it has total control and is being enforced by the state. And people don't even realize they're in a cult. They don't even realize they're acting like a religion. They refuse to accept that what they're doing is not, it's just normal. Hey, just buy a kid's book. Well, this one's about how Fauci is a superhero. Yeah, that's really weird, and I would wish you would understand that.
Everybody that's watching this needs to support Alex Jones, needs to support InfoWars and Banned.video. I know Alex doesn't like to talk about this a lot on air, but you know, the Bible says, let another mouth praise you. I'm gonna do that right now. Alex Jones has helped so many people in this industry. You guys have no idea how many people have got their first start, like Savannah Hernandez, how many people have just been put on a launch pad to outer space because of Alex Jones, including myself. I've been given so many opportunities because of this man and because of this platform, and I would probably not even be half of where I am right now if it weren't for Alex Jones even being my friend or talking to me. I mean, I've been able to be on podcasts with Alex and Joe Rogan and Timcast, the super Timcast IRL. Listen, what I'm saying is, do not take Alex Jones and Banned.video for granted, because you don't know what you have until it's gone. We need to support free speech systems right now. So go check out the store. Go support their store. Go support InfoWars. Leave a donation right now. Don't wait until they're gone. I think it's pretty clear, Alex. I think we're seeing what we've been talking about, what you've been talking about for decades, is the fall of the Republic. this infiltration of globalism where they want to destroy any shape or form of nationalism for the American people. A few years ago, Alex, it was you. You were in the hot seat. You've been the trailblazer from the beginning. They decided to target you in InfoWars because that's what you represented. Nobody thought that they would go after Trump just as harshly. They did. They deplatformed a sitting United States president. They silenced and censored him immediately because he represented the whole populist movement. And what people need to understand, they're going to continue to do this. This is why they're going after Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, because she's a continuation of the populist movement. And you take a look at that kangaroo court. It's literally a joke. They want to literally paint anybody that wears a shirt that says 1776 or July 4th or the 4th of July or anything that's pro-Americana or freedom. They are literally going to label you as a domestic terrorist in the United States of America. It's backwards. And this is what people need to understand, because I know a lot of people sit back and they watch what happens to you, Alex. They watch what happens to Joe Rogan, these big guys. And it's like, you know what? They're probably going to make it. They're going to be fine. But what's happening is we are all Alex Jones. We are all Joe Rogan. We are all MTG. It doesn't matter what side you find yourself on. These people just want one thing. It's power. It's power and control of your mind and your life. And people need to just set aside their political differences and see that they're literally intentionally pinning us against each other. They want to spark a civil war, so they have an excuse for complete, total government overreach to control every single one of us. And at this point, Alex, that is not a conspiracy theory. That is quickly becoming reality, and we're watching it unfold. It is in the process right now. It's being installed. So I hope we don't have to continue to go down this dark path where, I don't know, Alex, is Disney just going to start pushing out open child pornography? Is that when we're going to draw the line, Alex? That's not when we draw the line. We don't draw the line when they're openly creating child porn and pushing it out and shoving it down your mouth and saying, you must accept this. If you don't, you're a bigot. That's not when we draw the line, Alex. We draw the line now because they're opposing child grooming laws. People need to understand. They need to support people that get this stuff, especially InfoWars and Band.Video. We don't wait until InfoWars is gone to finally wake up and say, hey, they're at the tip of the spear. Maybe we should have supported them. Where can I donate now? Oh, I'm sorry. InfoWars is gone. You cannot go to a donate button anymore. We need to support patriots that get this and that are pushing back right now. And now is the time, Alex. We cannot wait.
Trying to shut down InfoWars is like trying to snuff Paul Revere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Sunday afternoon. Mayday, 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 mayday. The world's been taken over by psychopaths. Mayday, they're mocking us right in our faces about what they're doing to us. The call has gone out. Yes, it is mayday. And we're very happy that you're here. I hope that you support us by going to InfoWarsStore.com. So we can get an incredible selection of anything from our self-mints to our t-shirts to the beautiful new gold bars, which I understand have, shockingly enough, not sold out yet. So make sure to go to InfoWarsStory.com just as soon as you possibly can to keep this program on the air. Because as you know, and I don't know if it has to do with the fact of we're getting up on the midterms, but the assault is on. The assault against free speech has been launched on just a myriad of different fronts. Just think about this in the last few months, just since January of this year. Just run through it off memory if we can. First, we started the year with the Joe Rogan fatwa. And I think that's the way you need to understand these things, as fatwas, right? As religious dictates to go and destroy an enemy of the faith. We start out with the Joe Rogan fatwa, people trying to get him canceled. Why? Because Dr. Robert Malone went on his program and talked about mass formation psychosis. There's no such thing as mass formation psychosis. Every media outlet in America shouts at exactly the same time and exactly the same words. Yeah, really proving us wrong on that one. So we began with the Joe Rogan fatwa. Of course, we moved on to the Omicron variant. That was a little distracting for a little while. I was just going over like all these stories over the last year, or the last several months since the beginning of this year, rather. And you see this path. But just in the last couple weeks, even, of course, you have early on in this year, the government coming out and saying that disinformation would now be in their purview. That would be something that the government would be getting concerned with. You also saw the obvious evolution. I think we may have fallen for a trick on this one, because remember, the Biden administration got together with a bunch of TikTok kids to talk about the vaccine, and we just sort of mocked it. We just sort of laughed at it, because obviously the thing that came out of it was that weird-looking dude with long nails talking to Psaki on the phone, and it was just like a meme. It was just a weird, you've got a weird cross-dressing flamboyant child running around the White House telling people to get injected with an experimental gene vaccine. It was just too much for us to understand what they were doing, what they were setting up. We didn't realize, you know, the precedent they were setting. Yeah, this one, right? We all just laughed at the ridiculousness of it, because, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous. And really what we should have been focusing on was the fact that the White House, the Biden administration, was gathering together influencers who have a specifically young and impressionable audience, and getting them to all fall in line and promote the same propaganda. Maybe we should have stood up to it then, because it wasn't 6 months later, in March of this year, that many of those same TikTokers were summoned to the office, not this time to talk about the vaccine and the safety of vaccine and pushing to get people's health. It was this time to make sure they were all coordinated in their war propaganda. This time it was to talk about the war in Ukraine and to push war to their young, impressionable audiences. I think we may have fallen for the distraction. They make this ridiculous comedy sketch with this flamboyant idiot, and we all mock that for a little while, not realizing that what they were doing was setting up a precedent to where the White House was hand in glove with popular influencers of children in order to push their narrative, and how quickly and how easily and how seamlessly it flipped from vaccine promotion to war propaganda. I see this as another attack on free speech. Of course, you have the Disinformation Governance Board. That's the latest attack. But at the same time, you have that attack going on. You have the lawsuits targeting Alex Jones. You have investigations continuing into the likes of Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. in New York City State with Letitia James, investigating them. Elon Musk tried to buy Twitter and was prevented from doing it for a short while by BlackRock and Vanguard. And now, of course, that he has bought Twitter, you're seeing, I think it was Vanity Fair and New York Times both announced they were launching a documentary investigation into Elon Musk. Yeah, Jeff Bezos came out to talk to him about this. And, you know, I'm sure his companies are going to face the, you know, full brunt of his failure to adhere to the ESG. His score will plummet. That's just a modest collection of the attacks on free speech. Same time, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene being brought into a show trial in order to grill her about her Facebook likes. Madison Cawthorn also under investigation now because he revealed the secret that there are a bunch of creepy drug orgies going on with congressmen. They frame it as insider trading. Of course, they don't go after Nancy Pelosi or anybody else who's made hundreds of millions of dollars for being in public office for decades on end. No, they go after Madison Cawthorn for supposedly pumping some Bitcoin or something. No, it's ridiculous. What it is an attack on free speech. What it is a signal to everybody else saying, if you want to have political representation, better keep your mouth shut. If you don't want to be subject to investigations and trials and be forced to testify, better just not say what you're thinking on Twitter. Don't like that post on Facebook. Just silence yourself, then we won't have to get involved. It's a message to absolutely everybody. Again, just a modest clip. Then you have libs of TikTok. As long as we're still talking about attacks on free speech, the doxing of an anonymous Twitter account in an attempt to encourage violence against her. This weekend you had, again, a conservative politician trying to campaign in downtown Portland, only to be attacked by Antifa and have their event shut down with paint bombs and vandalism and assault. So it's a full-on attack against the First Amendment. You know, now they're launching attacks against Bandot Video. They kicked us off social media. That's not enough. They want us silenced for good. This is the fight of our lives. This is the fight of our country's life, whether we have even, you know, performative motions towards being a free country anymore is very swiftly going away. But I'll stop talking about that. Just make sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support us, because we are fighting the war for free speech. We have shown by example the method by which we can defeat these people, that we can continue to have free speech, that we can continue to speak for ourselves. And it's by setting up something like InfoWars Store so that American people can support us, whether the powers that be want them to or not. So InfoWars Store is the engine that keeps this battleship running, and this battleship has proven over decades to be the most effective, influential, important, and dangerous threat to the New World Order that the world has ever seen. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Support us. Help to do your part to fight back in this war against the First Amendment. And while you're at it, improve your own health, improve your own life, take some of our supplements and find out what they do for you. Survival Shield X2 is one of those supplements where people call in almost every day on American Journal with some new thing that Survival Shield X2 has done for them. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you this will certainly happen to you, but I've had people tell me that X2, they started taking it, now they sleep an hour less every night. If other people say they've had a chronic rash for years and years, only to have it completely disappear almost overnight with X2. Again, I don't know what your results are going to be with X2. All I know is that if you have some sort of iodine deficiency and you don't know it, and suddenly you start supplementing with iodine and you start overcoming that deficiency, you have no idea what the effects will be on your own life. The only way to find out is to try. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your bottle of Survival Shield X2. It is back in stock and it's 25% off. So try it out now. See what wondrous and, dare I say it, miraculous things will come from your supplementing of iodine. Now let's go to some videos, shall we? Yesterday was the correspondence dinner at the White House where they got together. Even just the idea of the correspondence dinner. The reason the correspondence dinner exists is because the media is supposed to have an adversarial relationship with the president. You get that, right? It's supposed to be that for a year, these two factions kind of go head to head. The White House is trying to get away with stuff. The press is trying to uncover it. So it could sort of get bad, you know, but you don't want them being at each other's throats. You want there to be a friendly sort of competition between them. And the correspondence dinner was kind of a thing saying, look, even though we're sort of cutthroat with each other most of the year, we're going to have one day where we're going to come together, kind of jibe each other, kind of poke each other in the ribs, say it's all for a good laugh. We all believe in the same thing at the end of the day. So, you know, no hard feelings. See you on the field tomorrow, right? It's supposed to be sort of a sportsmanlike type thing. Then you had the Trump presidency, where the media was just vicious and ruthless and hateful and bigoted and despicable. Like, their behavior was unacceptable. And then it's like, we're not going to have a dinner for you people. You people lie continuously. You people are fomenting chaos and rebellion throughout the country. You were just the most despicably dishonest, hateful fearmongers the world has ever seen. No, we're not going to hold a dinner for you. No, we're not going to pat each other on the back and pretend like this is all in good fun. You're out for our blood, and we get it now. That was a bit of a change. Bit of a change from the previous years. But now that we're back to normal, we get to see how far the Correspondence Dinner has fallen. What a gigantic failure the concept of free speech has been in this country. Because instead, what you have now is two people on the same team, the team that's arrayed against the American people, patting each other on the back, winking a nod, smiling with each other, going, isn't it good to be back on top? Isn't it good to be back in charge? Isn't it good that we have total control once again over the methods of information? Isn't this fun? So now what we're seeing is not some sort of fun, lighthearted, you know, interaction by two factions that are typically a little bit, there's a little bit of friction between them. Now it's just a full-on celebration. Just a full-on orgy of tyranny. They're just coming together and having a big laugh about the way that they're ruining Americans' lives, that everybody hates them, and that there's nothing we can do about it. It's very fun, isn't it? Such a fun, lighthearted event they have there. So let's go to first the probably the most popular clip from the whole ordeal, clip number 14. It's Biden and the rest of the elitist cohort laughing uproariously at the fact that Americans can no longer afford to buy basic necessities. Let's watch.
You know, I think ever since you've come into office, things are really looking up. You know, gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything. No, it really has been a tough first year for you, Mr. President.
I can't afford to go on vacation this year. I had to move my son to a worse school because tuition is too much now. I can't afford to go on a road trip to see my grandmother. She might die soon. So isn't it hilarious? Isn't it so funny, all of these sacrifices that we're making? Isn't it hilarious? Joe Biden thinks it's just hilarious. Everything's gone up. The average family is spending over $5,000 a year just on inflation. Isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? Gosh, it's just, I'm glad we're all having such a good time here. Of course, Trevor Noah, this South African propagandist, had some a little bit of criticisms to say about the media, but let's dig into what exactly he's saying here. We'll go to clip number 12. Here's Trevor Noah, just, again, in just the most sort of oblique and condescending way, just mocking the American people and celebrating the fact that the Biden administration is working hand in hand with the media establishment to cover up all of their misdeeds and to focus all of their ire and their fury and their investigations on those who are not currently in power. Just complete abdication of the responsibility of the press, but they're getting away with it, and they think it's hilarious. Let's go now to clip number 12.
Say, President Biden came into office, and he's done well, and he's done badly. And in this room, I know there's a lot of mixed reviews. You know, there was a lot of talk about how the president really respects the press. But what has he really done for you guys, huh? Think of all the journalists whose careers have been hurt by the Biden presidency. People like Daniel Dale. He used to be CNN star fact checker on TV every day. But now, there's barely anything to check. Same for Glenn Kessler of the Washington Post. On the way here, I saw him on the street offering four Pinocchios for a dollar. Mr. President, that's on you. And what about Maggie Haberman? For 4 years, it was exclusives, huh? On the Russia investigation, corruption. The president doesn't read his daily briefings. On and on. Now look at her. She spends all day fighting with random people on Twitter like a common political reporter. You've ruined her, Mr. President. Now, of course, President Biden doesn't often have to deal with the media directly. Yes, that task falls to Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Yes. Glad you could make it tonight. Really glad you could make it tonight, Jen. It's nice that you're willing to come over here and risk getting COVID for, like, what, the 10th time now? Let me ask, how do you keep getting COVID, Jen? Like, your boss hooked us all up with free tests. Does he not have your address? What's going on there? The word on the streets is actually that Jen Psaki is going to MSNBC next month. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, apparently just being on C-SPAN, the ratings were too high, and she wanted more of a challenge, you know? Wanted to switch things up. She can't laugh at that. Don't put the camera on her. If it's true, congratulations to Jen on your big career change. But, you know, moving to MSNBC is going to be a big switch up for you, because right now your current job is to make the Biden administration look as good as possible, you know, at all costs. Now you're going to be at MSNBC and you're going to have to, you'll be fine, actually. Now that, sorry. I don't even know why I apologize. By the way, MSNBC, can I just say you guys are doing great work, you know? Yeah, I love watching your shows. You know, when Trump was in office, your shows were all about how bad he was. And now that Biden's in office, your shows are all about
how bad Trump was. I'm sure that was the punchline. I don't know, but we're not breaking new ground here, are we? Everything is as predictable as it is stale. It's kind of interesting, the things that he was saying there, wasn't it? It's so funny that they used to fact check everything, and now they don't. Now they don't do that. So, yeah, that's so funny. It's so funny how the media used to just ruthlessly find the least favorable interpretation of anything Trump said and try to weave that into an overarching narrative about how he is evil incarnate. And now they don't even pay attention. Now they don't even fact check. No, they take what the Biden administration tells them and they print it. And then they tell anybody who's questioning it that you're dangerous. They're like, what has Biden done for the press? Well, he did create the Disinformation Governance Board. So, you know, now you'll have less competition to worry about. You know, they have spearheaded the destruction of any media that is not completely in the pocket of the state. So, you know, they've sort of helped out there. Of course, that media correspondence dinner, it couldn't have been the big celebration that they were acting like it was, could they, with the failure of CNN Plus, with all just the stuff that CNN's gone through this year, with just the numerous sex crime allegations and the president's being forced out and the failure of CNN Plus that burned through tens of millions of dollars in barely 3 weeks' time and got less views than some sort of TikTok with a cat would get, right? Just full-on humiliation. This was them taking it back, the spotlight and saying, actually, we're great. We all agree. We all agree that we're awesome and we're the ones who tell everybody else what to think. So it's all great. But of course, you know, it's a big joke that these fact-checking organizations just don't even fact-check Joe Biden. Sort of horrific. And on the topic of the Disinformation Governance Board, you would think that the media would at least put up like a show of opposing this, right? You would think they would want to make it look like they were still doing their job. And the job of the media is to expose the lies of the government. It's supposed to be there to hold them in check, to tell you when they're doing something illegal or unethical or immoral. The media is supposed to be there to let the people know so then the people can take that into account when they go vote. I mean, that's the way our process is supposed to work. But it doesn't really work that way anymore. And you would think that the media would be ashamed of this. You'd think they would come out and say, how dare you, government? How dare you try to have oversight over what we print? How dare you start to even mention the word disinformation? Do you have any idea what you're messing with? You are undermining the very foundations of our entire society, and you are opening a Pandora's box so earth-shatteringly dangerous that we will not let it happen. You'd think at least they'd put that show on and then like a month from now go, well, we've gotten assurances from the government that this isn't what's happening. So we're on board now. But they don't even bother to do that anymore. The government says we're creating a disinformation board. Mainstream media says, good, you should make sure it goes farther. Make sure you're punishing these people fully. But continuing on with this clip that we just saw, again, just the irony. The it's just saturated in this cultish detachment from reality. He's like Maggie Haberman. When Trump was in office, every day it was scoops, it was investigations. What does he say to reference this? The Russia investigation and corruption. Yeah. She was telling lies. Yeah, she was lying about that. Yeah, she was spreading a false narrative that didn't actually exist. The Trump-Russia collusion. Like, I just don't get it. I just don't get how these people are clearly aware of things, right? Like they know that the Russia investigation is over now and they know that it came up completely and totally empty, right? They know that. They're aware of that. And yet they still bring that up as an example of the powerful work that the media was doing when Trump was in office. It's just wild. It's just wild the way these people act. And then, of course, he makes jokes about Psaki being on MSNBC. And, of course, he references the fact that MSNBC is its job is to make Biden look as good as possible, which is a bit of a worry there, a bit of a stretch. Anybody think it's weird that the press secretary is already accepted a job to MSNBC months before she's going to leave the office? Isn't that a little bit weird? But no, it's just what we're seeing with these videos from the press correspondence dinner there at the White House is they think they've won. That's really the overarching feeling I got. They think they've won. They think there's nothing these people can do to us. There's nothing they can do to stop us. We in the media and we in the government are working hand in hand to once again reestablish our control over the narrative, silence anybody that disagrees with us, cause immense suffering and pain to the regular American people in a myriad of different ways, and then we'll get together and laugh about it and mock them and act like it's no big deal. As I've said many, many times, the two arms of the beast are the government to screw you over and the media to tell you that it's not happening. And that's what we saw on display there at the Correspondence Center, and them laughing uproariously, knowing full well what they're doing, and really thinking it's hilarious. We'll show another video from Trevor Noah and then get into what Joe Biden was saying on the other side. But I think we have time. How long is clip 13, y'all? I think we have time to play this. All right, yeah, it's super short. So here's just an illustration of exactly what I'm talking about. Joe Biden and the media, the Democrats, the federal government, and the media just laughing about how hated they are. Let's watch.
I'm really excited to be here tonight with the only group of Americans with a lower approval rating than I have.
They hate us. They all hate us so much. Nobody likes us. Nobody likes us. Nobody wants us to be in charge, but we are. Isn't that hilarious? Isn't it so funny that we are despised by the American people, that even though we continuously have control over their every method of information gathering and we pump nothing but positive stuff out about one another, and yet they still hate us? Isn't that crazy? Isn't that so funny? Isn't it so hilarious that we are openly despised by the vast majority of Americans? I think Congress has even a lower approval rating than the executive or the mainstream media. But it doesn't matter because they're in charge now, because they have control, because they're not going anywhere. They've neutered us. They've destroyed our country. They have silenced our voices. Now they get up, they laugh about inflation, they laugh about the war in Ukraine, they laugh about the misery and pain they're causing you. And then they laugh at the fact that we all know this and they don't think there's anything we can do to stop it. More on the other side. Stay tuned.
InfoWars' very existence outrages the globalists and their criminal minions. They can't stand that the people who love freedom and justice and sovereignty and God and the right to self-defense and private property and our children have been able to build a system that reaches tens of millions of people a week, very conservatively, many times tens of millions a day. We are a family trying to maintain and build a human future. It is so important to spread the word about InfoWars and the articles and videos that you see there that you think are most impacting and powerful. And it's so vital in the third dimension on the street to circumvent big tech censorship and to wear your colors loud and proud. Now, we are selling out of more than 200 t-shirts that I designed over the years. Some are amazing, some are just okay designs because I made them, but they're historic. When they're gone, they're gone. We're not making them anymore. We'll have limited edition shirts that come out two or three designs at a time, and that's it, because we don't have money to keep a bunch of inventory around. We've already sold out of 60% of the 60-plus thousand shirts that we had in the last month. Soon, the rest of those shirts will be sold. You'll never be able to get those designs again. We've got to sell them all to fund the operation. But the new shirt that we have is sold out right now. More coming in next week, so it's on back order. So you can still order it right now. Is the Alex Jones Was Right shirt. It's powerful. It's got nice fabric. A red lightning bolt with Alex Jones Was Right on the back, InfoWars.com. This is a great shirt. I mean, it's a classy shirt. It's a great design. We're very proud of it, and it spreads the word, and it funds the InfoWars. So don't let them censor you. Don't let them silence you. Get your t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, long sleeves. Everything is being sold at cost at InfoWarsStore.com, except for this shirt. It's $24.95 as a fundraiser to fund the operation. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com and take action now. I thank you for your support. God bless.